I appreciate being able to be back with you. I miss being here Wednesday night, but it's good to be back here. I appreciate the men that got up and led a song or prayer or read scripture, and Calvin for doing the invitation. I appreciate that, and wish I could have been with you. This morning, I want us to talk about trusting in the Lord, and I want us to consider two verses, and that's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And yesterday, as I went into David and Lisa's house, I saw this on the board as I entered, and I love that. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What I want to do in this lesson is look at these two verses, and God has provided me through His Word with the four points I want to make this lesson. I want to go through each clause and discuss them. There's four in these two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Let's consider what it means to trust in the Lord. I understand, and this illustration's been used a lot by teachers, that there was a man by the name of Charles Blondin in the 19th century who was an acrobat, and he was famous for his tightrope walking. And he would walk over Niagara Falls on a tightrope that was 160 feet above the falls and 1,100 feet in span. And I understand one time in 1860, there was a royal party there from Britain, and he crossed over the tightrope on stilts. And then he did it blindfolded. And then he pushed a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. And then came back with that wheelbarrow and had a bag of potatoes in it. And he asked the crowd, do you think that I could push a person in this wheelbarrow and make it across? And everybody's like, yes, yes, absolutely. And he said, okay, who wants to get in? There was no volunteers. And I would have been right there with them. There is no way I'm putting my life in His hands. You know, but when it comes to God, we need to put our lives in His hands. We need to trust Him with all our heart. That's the kind of belief that God expects from us. The heart here is not that physical organ that pumps blood throughout our bodies, but it's speaking of the innermost being of a person. It's kind of your control room of your physical body, as some people might say. But in the spiritual sense, how it's being referred to here, it causes us to think and react like we do. So it's so important that we get our heart right with God. And I think we see that in so much of the teaching in Scripture, that we get our heart right. Someone that I think about that was tested their faith, their trust in God to such a difficult degree, such a great test, more difficult than getting probably in a wheelbarrow, is when Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 was tested by God, and it said that he was to give his only begotten son on the altar of sacrifice. And he had so much faith that he gave all indications that he was going to do exactly that, up to the point that he and Isaac were on the mountain, Mount Moriah, and Abraham had the knife in his hand, and an angel of the Lord stopped him. And we see in Hebrews 11, as he's mentioned as one of those of great faith, that he believed that God would raise his son from the dead. That's great trust in God, isn't it? So I think of people like him in Scripture. Just acknowledging God and that He exists is not enough. We need to have complete trust in Him. The directive here that is given at the first part of verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3 is not for a piecemeal trust in God. It is a complete trust in God, trusting Him with our whole lives. And it's not for us to pick and to choose what we're going to trust him in, what area of our life we're going to trust him in. We can say, oh, God, I trust you in my marriage when it comes to that, but I don't trust you in my career. It's not up to us to pick and to choose. We need to place our whole lives in his hand. The child of God is to put their faith in him. We are to trust him with all our hearts. In the scripture reading, Brother Allen read just a little while ago, I'll tell you the reason I picked Psalm 118, the first part of that. And I don't know if this is true. I've never examined it or gone through the process, but I've heard this for years, that in the King James Version, if you look for the middle verse in the Bible, it points us to Psalm 118 and verse 8. And if that is true, how appropriate that is, that this is at the heart of the Bible, that we don't need to put our trust in man, but we need to put our trust in God. And this is a theme that is all throughout Scripture. We need to trust him with every area of our life. You know, there are people we feel like we can trust, but there is no one that we can trust more than God. He has given us every reason to trust in him. But time and time again, throughout biblical history, we see God's people having a weakness, a lack of trust in him. And God expects us to trust him with all our heart. The second clause in verse 5 is, and lean not on your own understanding. I would say all of us have been tempted at times in our lives to lean on our own understanding. We like things that are tangible, something that is substantial and capable of being physically touched. We can see it. We can taste it. Something that is concrete right there before our very eyes. And I think of Thomas wanting to see the nail marks of Jesus who was risen. But one problem that I think is that at times in our life, we do and think that we know better than God. We're tempted to do that. And this isn't in our context, our text this morning. It is in the context, but verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. But faith is not living by what we see, our sight. It's in the unseen. We need to trust in God completely and not lean on our own understanding. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, and then also it's the same thing in Proverbs 16:25. So it's Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. It says the same thing. There is a way that seems right to a man. Oh, it seems right. It seems like this is the logical path. This is what I should do. But it says its end is the way of death, separation from God. We think we know better than God. We have a problem. That's a problem that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. Adam and Eve, you know, they broke the only thou shalt not command, not to eat of that forbidden fruit. But Satan came to Eve, and we see that he tempted her of having a knowledge, and he twisted what God said. And we see that she chose to do that. Adam chose to do that. But our own understanding is so lacking. We think we're so smart. We think we know so much, but it pales in comparison to God. And I think of the great prophet Isaiah, who in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, said something that we all need to commit to our hearts. And I think it's part of our not leaning on our own understanding. It helps us. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above yours, your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways, his thoughts, are so much higher than ours, as the heavens are above the earth. And we need to realize his great wisdom, his great knowledge, his great understanding, and trust in Him. But oftentimes we forget, and we're persistent in doing things our own way, believing somehow that our way is better than God's way. We need to trust in Him. What He has commanded us to do is for our benefit. If you read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. What? If you do not do what's wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil, it will be good for you. We need to trust in Him. He is our Creator. He is our Maker. This is the owner's manual. And He says, this is what is health to your flesh and strength to your bones. But I think about Solomon. Let's talk about King Solomon, who came after his own son as the ruler of Israel. And he started out, it seemed like, very good in his reign, that he asked for wisdom. I can't think of anything better than asking God for than wisdom. And he asked for that. And he built the temple that his own father was not allowed to do. He built the temple. It took 7 years to build it. So he started out very good, but then not so good. And I go back to a passage in Deuteronomy 17, verses 16 and 17, where the future kings of Israel, and this is Moses giving his farewell address to the people, and he's talking about the future kings when they get into the promised land, how the kings should behave. And it says they are not to multiply three things. They're not to multiply horses. They're not to multiply wives. And the kings are not to multiply silver and gold. Well, Solomon did all three of those. And, multiplying horses and multiplying silver and gold, what does that show you're putting your trust in? It's not God. It's your own military strength. It's your own financial backing, putting your trust in your bank account. And it's showing a lack of God. And the wives mentioned were the influence that they would have in leading him away from God. And he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He oppressed the people. We see that the kingdom divided into the northern and southern kingdoms. You get thinking you know better than God, and He's the one that wrote these things in Proverbs. He wrote the passage we're looking at, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. He wrote those words. He wrote, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction. And yet, he fell to his own instruction that he wrote inspired of God. We need to understand that we're not to put our weight on our own thinking or the counsel of other people, but to trust God and His Word. Put your trust there. And I think about if you knew that a walking cane was weak, about to break, or crooked, or just not reliable, would you put your weight on that? What's going to happen when you do that? You're going to fall. It's a dangerous thing. Well, it's the same way. If we put our weight, so to speak, our life on the thinking of our own, our thinking is weak and unreliable. It's so much lower than God's high level of thinking and ways. We need to put our trust in Him and not put our weight on our own understanding. The third clause in this passage is, in all your ways acknowledge Him. So, second time we see in these two verses, the second time the word all is used. That means every area. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means wholeheartedly, not holding anything back. Here, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. How many ways? All of them. None excluded. We yield to His authority. We respect his ways. We allow him to lead our lives. In Psalm chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We need to allow him to be our shepherd, the Lord, and acknowledge him in all our ways. Acknowledge him in all of our life. But I'm afraid sometimes, again, we just put part of that in his hands and not all of it. And it's wrong for us to think that God cares about what I do Sunday morning in assembly, but not on Monday morning in the office. And it's wrong of us to think and have the assumption that God cares about whom I give my money to and what I do with my money, but not how I earn that money in the first place. He cares about all of it. And it's wrong to assume that God cares about my Bible reading, but he doesn't care about my television viewing. It's wrong to think that in all our ways we need to acknowledge him. But I'm afraid sometimes we hold back areas of our life, and we shouldn't. God wants us to put our whole lives in his hand, to trust him with all our heart, and to acknowledge him in all our ways. We can get an indication of how well I believe we are fulfilling this, how we are acknowledging God in all our ways, by looking at what we pray for, what we are thankful for. And it's so important for us to be thankful, not only to each other, but to God first and foremost. And also what we worry about and why we worry. I think we can look at those three areas and see how well that we are fulfilling this, acknowledging God in all our ways. Thanking God is certainly another way of acknowledging him. And I think most all of us could not imagine just sitting down at a table ready to eat with our family and not having a prayer. But we're not just to do it then, and we're not just to thank God for that food right then, right there. We are to thank him for all of our blessings, all of that, and acknowledge him and give thanks in all of these things. But finally, the last clause is that he shall direct your paths. I love how David quoted in his prayer, and it's certainly fitting to quote scripture in our prayers, how that his word is to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That's how God will direct our paths. Because we trust him and acknowledge him in all our ways, and we don't lean on our own understanding, we open his word, we open the scripture, and we allow him to guide us. Now, if this seems like an encouraging promise, it's probably because it is. It's an encouraging promise that God's not going to leave us to try to figure out what is right and what's wrong. We can look at his word, and that should solve it all. But it's also a little bit of a warning. It reminds us that our path in life is God's path, and his way is not always the way that perhaps we would choose for ourselves to go. But we need to go that way, and it's a warning if we get off that way and follow a different path. In fact, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he said in this sermon, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." God's path is not the path perhaps at times we would naturally take in our lives or choose for ourselves. But the straight path is what we need in life, and we need to follow his word and always do what he directs us to do in his word. He cares so much about us all. He wants to save us. But we have to trust him. He requires that of us, and that's fundamental that we have that faith in him. Not just believing that he is and he exists, but he's also a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God has provided a plan of salvation, and we need to believe that and trust in that plan and know that there is no other way, because this is the plan that God has given us. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to believe it. We need to repent of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. We need to confess with our mouth that we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10. And verses 9 and 10 state that, and we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. We looked at in class 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. How can anyone read that verse, baptism now saves us, and say that it's not necessary for our salvation? It is. Trust God's plan. And it doesn't stop there. It starts there. We become a child of God, and we've committed ourselves to Him. And we need to trust Him with all our lives, in our worship, in our home life, our work life, we're traveling, anywhere we go, whatever we do, we need to trust God with our whole life. Wisdom tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. If you need to respond to the gospel call, please come while together we stand and sing.